ರಾಮಾಯ ರಾಮಭದ್ರಾಯ ರಾಮಚಂದ್ರಾಯ ವೇದಸಿ ರಘುನಾಥಾಯ ನಾಥಾಯ ಸೀತಾಯ ಪತಿಯೇ ನಮಃ. ಅಯೋಧ್ಯೆ ಕಾಂಡ ಚಾಪ್ಟರ್ ನಂಬರ್ 73, ದ ವೇಜಸ್ ಆಫ್ ಸಿನ್. ದ ರೆಸಿಟೇಷನ್ ಬಿಗಿನ್ಸ್ ನೌ. With a darkening heart did Bharata listen to the glowing description of his father's pitiable death, of his brother's unjust doom. Uncontrollable grief filled his heart and found vent in winged words of flame. What have I to do with this vast empire, a luckless wretch, with the heavy sin on my soul of the murder of my father and the consigning to a living death of my brothers? Your cruel hand cuts deeper and yet deeper into the wound you have caused and lays salt and fire upon the gashes. Is it not enough for one man to bear the foul murder of my sire? Would not your wretched soul rest until it has immured Rama in the depths of the dark forest, like the night of dissolution that blots out the whole universe and all it contains? Where did you lie in wait all the while to bring disgrace and destruction upon the fair line of Ikshvaku? Alas, his majesty took you into his household all unawares, even as one clasps to his bosom coals of living fire. His death lies heavy upon your soul. I see your hand slay him. Shame on your house. Was it for this that you were brought up in lap of luxury and comfort, in pomp and splendor by your husband and by your father? My sire never knew what it was to go back upon his word. His bright fame illumined the world, yet he took you to himself as a wife and lost everything, happiness, honor, fame, and his life. What set you on to seek the death of his majesty, whose heart was ever turned to dharma as a guiding star of his life? What sought you to achieve by banishing Rama to the woods? Even if it so chances that Kaushalya and Sumitra survive the shock or separation from their beloved sons, I am sure your merciless heart will not allow them to live long. Dare you say that Rama, the very paragon of virtue, waited not upon you dutifully and reverently as he did upon Kaushalya that bore him? Dharma has no mysteries for him. Kaushalya, the far-sighted, was ever a dear sister to you, the fondest that you can ever have. Deny it if you can. And is not Rama the firstborn of that righteous lady who deservedly takes her place on the throne by the side of the Lord of Kaushala? I marvel that your dark soul knows not sorrow or contrition, not the slightest, even when you have driven the noble Rama to the dreary forests to live the lonely life of the homeless hermits. Let be. Just tell me what your ambition, dark and ominous, aims at, now that you are driven away from this kingdom, a pure and heroic brother of undimmed fame. My poor intellect cannot grasp it. Your greed, your lust for wealth and power has blinded you so that you see not the boundless reverence and love my heart bears to Rama. For if you had but an inkling of the truth, you will never dare to perpetrate this monstrous crime to secure from me this pitiable inheritance. What did you count upon to enable me to rule over this vast empire with Rama and Lakshmana far away in the distant wilds? The golden Meru rejoices in the strength and protection of the woods that adorn its side, to guard every approach to it. Even so, Dasharatha, virtuous and mighty as he was, trusted most in Rama's valor and strength. I am but a tender calf. What chance have I to draw the load that would strain to the utmost the full-grown strength of a bull? I am a boy in years and intellect. What put it into your head that I had it in me to wield the scepter that Dasharatha's mighty hand held over this boundless empire for twice 30,000 years? Grant that I, as a son of the emperor, could manage to keep myself on the throne, more by one's might of intellect and strength of policy. Yet, lay this to your heart right well. Never, never will I see you rejoice in the fulfillment of your miserable schemes, you who wrought all this nameless havoc and destruction but to secure wealth and power to your son. Were it not that my hands are bound by the love and reverence that Rama bears towards you as his mother, this very instant will see you hunted out of this kingdom, far, far away from this human habitation. Who put you up to ask of his majesty that the crown should go to a younger son in utter defiance to the claims of the older? Has it any precedent in records of my famous house? What a fool I am to speak in the same breath of yourself and the ways of the good and the righteous. I cannot for my life contain my wonder when I think how your foolish woman's heart was egged on to this daring act. It is a worldwide tradition of the line of Ikshvaku that the crown always descends to the eldest son. His brothers always obey and reverence him as a father. Nay, this is characteristic of every royal house from the beginning of time, and all the more binding on the line of Ikshvaku. But what have you, a fiend incarnate, in common with kingly traditions of eternal duty that lies in the lords of men? My ancestors of glorious memory bore the palm among those that guarded with sleepless vigilance, dharma and unstained honor. And now nature has, after infinite and patient labor, produced a paragon of virtue in you to lay your axe at the roots of the fair tree of honor and fame that my forefathers have reared with so much care and toil. Stay! The kings of Kekia, to whose house you say you belong, are noble souls and reverently follow this traditional policy. Then what foul fiends twisted and warped your heart and brains to contrive and execute this monstrous atrocity? Come what may, I will not lend myself to gratify your dark ambition. Do I not see that your ravening lust for power seeks to rule through me, a miserable puppet on a throne? Wait a while, and you will see me bring back from the woods Rama, the beloved of all creation. I shall crown him in pomp and splendor right before your very eyes. My life will be one long day of happiness, rendering him every service and attention. I will not rest content unless grief and disappointment kill you by inches. Your miserable heart will crumble to dust under the shock of shattered hopes. Thus did Bharata rebuke Kaikeyi with harsh words and seek to give vent to the surging sorrow that threatened to burst his heart. But it was too little for him what he had done, and like the noble king of beasts thundering from his mountain lair at the sight of his foe, did he wax in his rage and thunder out his reproaches and taunts. Mangalam Kaushalendraya Mahaniya Gunapdeye Chakravarti Dhanurjaya Sarva Bhaumaya Mangalam.